You're listening to the Take Your Shot podcast, a podcast for wedding photographers and videographers looking to grow and scale their business. I'm your host, Hallie Heather, and my goal is for you to walk away feeling empowered and inspired as you continue to build a business that you're passionate about and that serves both you and your clients well. So whether you're operating as a side hustle or you're looking for tips and tricks on how to improve and scale your business, you, my friend, are in the right place. You don't have to figure it all out on your own, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to another episode of the Take Your Shot podcast. Today, I've got Molly Morocco from Branded with a Purpose, and we are going to be talking all about how to put together a branded marketing plan and create content that actually aligns and speaks to your ideal client in a strategic way. So there's a lot to unpack there. Molly, welcome. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell people about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, awesome. So I am Molly and I am a business coach. I focus primarily on brand messaging and marketing. That's kind of like my niche in the business coaching world. But my background is actually as a wedding planner. So I started my career as a teacher, but I had always grown up loving weddings. I was like the girl who got Martha Stewart Weddings magazine when she was 14. Like I was that girl. So I was always kind of like, this is what I'm going to do. This is going to be my life. I'm so excited for it. And then I kind of had one of those like, well, is that really practical? Should I really do that? And so I decided to go get my master's, become a teacher, and was like, there is no way I will be retiring in a classroom. So I kind of started a wedding blog, which then transferred into me getting my first wedding planning client, and then did that while I was teaching and kind of just got to the point where I got burnt out with all of it, but realized I loved business. And I love the creative industry. I love the wedding industry. And I really wanted to work with those people. I just didn't necessarily want to work with brides. So I ended up kind of combining all of the things that I had learned with teaching into now coaching and then, you know, my background in the wedding industry and writing. So I do copywriting for people and coaching and things like that all around. How do I talk to my ideal client and get them to listen?
That is so incredible. And there's a lot to unpack there. But I think why I'm really specifically excited to have you on today is because I think a lot of people struggle with like not knowing what to post and like how does it resonate with their ideal client. Like I think a lot of times social media and just like brand messaging can all feel like throwing things on the wall, hoping someone finds it, hoping somehow it sticks. And it doesn't always convert. It doesn't always actually resonate with the end user or the intentional person you're trying to reach. And so I think just like having an overall strategy and taking your skills and experience and doing all that, it's like so good. And it can be really hard to figure out how to be organized and how to actually like define these things and how to know what works, what doesn't. So I'm seriously so excited. So as you've kind of had in your experience, what would you say are the kind of like the biggest things that you see people missing when it comes to just like figuring out how to be strategic in their messaging? Like where do you see people falling short of that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So like you were kind of saying, a lot of it is like throwing spaghetti against a wall and just kind of seeing what sticks in a way, like to a point, but that has to come from somewhere. So what I help my clients do is we sit down and we create a messaging blueprint. And that essentially is what it sounds like. It's the blueprint for everything that you are saying in your marketing. And so we walk through kind of like what those different things are, like who are you helping? What is their problem? Like why are they struggling with that thing? How are you helping them? Like what transformation are you creating? Just outlining all of those things so that when you go to create content, you know what you want to say. Because I think one of the mistakes that people end up making is that they're talking about way too many things. They're talking about things in their messaging that they are not actually responsible for creating. I know, you know, having worked with a lot of wedding planners, they'll be like, this will be the best day of your life. And it's like, well, babe, love you. But like, we shouldn't be promising that because that is not what we are delivering to a client. What we are delivering is a beautiful wedding. What we are delivering is a stress-free wedding planning process. So, you know, with photographers, you know, you want to think about what you are saying to your clients. And then you want to really, it's this weird balance of like, I don't want to get so specific that I'm leaving out some of what I do for people, but I don't want it to be too broad so that it's not actually speaking to anyone. So you kind of like got to go back and forth to find that sweet spot of I'm speaking directly to my specific client and that one thing that they really want. And I'm okay with the fact that I'm not speaking to what everyone wants. But I'm also not so niched down that people are kind of like, wait, what? Like, what do you do again? So it's striking that fine balance. And that's a lot of what I work with people to help them do.
Totally. And I think finding that balance and making sure that you're actually like communicating what it is you actually do. I think you hit the nail on the head there with like, I think we are like, oh, this is wedding related, so I'm just going to share that. Or this is wedding related, so I'm just going to give that tip. But it has absolutely nothing to do with the problems that you're solving or how you're actually resonating with your ideal client. And so I think that's really awesome. Do you mind? Let's back up a little bit. So let's kind of like talk through what exactly is like a content marketing plan and like how does that kind of go in line with like the branding. So do you mind talking a little bit about those two things?
Yeah. Okay. So I always start with my clients by figuring out that messaging blueprint. And, you know, again, you don't necessarily need to do it with me, although I'd love to do it with your listeners. But the point is that you've got to back up and really define the person that you are working with. You have to define what they want. You have to define why they can't get the thing that they want. And so you have to go through that process for what you're going to be saying, because everything else builds off of that. You can't create content if you don't know the problem that you're solving. You can't create content if you don't know the emotions that your client is experiencing. And I think like the emotional piece is a really huge piece. If you can get into your client's head, and sometimes this looks like saying the mean stuff that they're saying in their own heads, like out loud. So it would be like, I know you're worried that you're not going to love the way you look on camera. I know that you're worried that when you see your photos, you're going to be picking apart every little flaw, but you know, I'm going to help you feel comfortable so that the only thing that you do see is your radiant smile or like the joy emanating from you. Like it's those kind of things where you're addressing and calling it out for people so that they're like, oh my gosh, okay, she gets it. You know, and that helps them feel more comfortable. Like I know my photographer is going to be like looking for my strategic angles, helping me find the light and like making sure I look beautiful in, you know, my photos or my video or whatever. And so again, that takes that fear that they have out of their head and allows you to speak to it in a way where they hear you say that and they're like, oh, you're my person because you get it. And so that's what we're trying to create with our messaging. And then once we have that, like I said, now what I just said could be a post for you. It could be a reel for you. You know, it informs the rest of your content. So it's really about finding that baseline framework for your messaging first. And then once we know those things, then we get really granular on it and we can take it piece by piece and we can make a post that has one piece of that framework, or we can create a post that tells the entire story of that. But it's really about getting clear and then consistently saying that same message over and over again. Because I think what a lot of business owners do is they're like, but I already just said this. And it's like, well, but you didn't reach all of the people. And even if you did reach all of the people, you know, it's some crazy stat now that keeps increasing where it's like they need to hear you 8 times or 24 times or whatever until they listen. So it's like you have to kind of keep saying the same thing, maybe in a little bit of a different way, but that becomes what you are known for. And I think a lot of times people shy away from that because they're like, but I just said it. So it's really just understanding that process, starting with the framework and then using that to inform the types of content that you're going to create.
And I think there are a lot of problems out there to solve. How do you figure out those pain points that your clients are experiencing and how do you actually do that? So do you recommend taking a survey? Do you recommend doing some sort of poll? Like, how do you actually like define what those problems are and like figure out where to actually uncover those things?
That's a good question. So part of any of this stuff that we're talking about here is that you get to choose. Like you can think in your mind of different client avatars that you've worked with, some of whom may not be comfortable in front of the camera, some of whom, you know, just really want those like highly emotional photos, some want like more photojournalistic approaches. So you've got to decide like, okay, who am I and how, like what kind of work am I creating in the world? And then what kind of client is going to appreciate that? And then what problem do they have that I am solving with my approach to this? So again, if it's a client that doesn't want like heavily posed images, then that is what your client wants. So then your messaging is then going to be like, I'm going to capture the raw emotion, all the candid images and the tiny moments that like you may not even know happened and, you know, deliver that to you with your photos. So you choose like based on just who you are and how you show up in the world. And then that kind of informs it. But you're also looking at past data from like, what have clients said to you? You want to look at your testimonials and say like, okay, a lot of my clients, which is super funny. When I first started, my tagline was, I help people bring their brand to life and work. And then I had so many clients say to me, oh, you helped me bring my brand to life and work. This was after I'd kind of changed it and brought it to a new iteration. I was like, oh, okay. So this is what I help people do. And without prompting, they're seeing that I do this. So look at what those patterns are that may come up that people are saying to you. And, you know, even when you discovery calls are huge, like when you get on a call with a client and you are asking them, like, you know, what are you afraid of? What are you looking for? All of that is really going to be gold, because what you want to do is use those exact words in your marketing. So I know you're afraid of XYZ, or I know you want whatever. And you use those exact words in your marketing when you're talking back to them, because that's when they have that moment of like, wait a second, but that's what I say. So like, you know, this person clearly gets it. And if they get it, then they can solve the problem. They can make me feel comfortable. And they're the person I feel like I want to work with.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think a lot of times we feel like we can't say things straightforward, right? Yeah. Like asking for the sale, defining what the problems are, because people don't want to be like, well, no, there has to be a secret out there. But literally, it is pretty straightforward. And I love how you just define that for everyone, because you can be straightforward. Like, people just want to be told, like, what's their next step, or what should they be thinking about, or like, what problems are you solving? Like, if you define that as clear as possible and providing a lot of clarity, like, that is key. And so I love that that's like a huge part of like your process and what you teach on. I would love to, now that we kind of talking about like defining the problem and how your content should really be speaking to that and serving that well. And you really did a really good job of like figuring out how to figure that out and ties it back into, you know, what you want to create. Okay. So now you want to create these reels, or you want to create this content. What do you recommend for like staying organized and actually putting together a solid plan? Like, do you have a step-by-step process? Do you have any tools you use? Like, for people who feel overwhelmed and feel like they cannot be consistent for the life of them, what do you recommend?
Yeah. So consistency obviously is the name of the game. We all know that. We all struggle with that. So I think the biggest thing is figuring out, like, how often can I consistently commit to posting? And then let's say that it's like once a week. So, okay, that's 4 reels a month that I need to create. So we've got to figure out, like, going to create 4 reels a month. I'm going to then go back to my messaging blueprint and look at that and say, like, okay, what types of things do I need to be talking about or hitting in my reels in order to, you know, speak to the buyer types? Because there's also different buyer types that we have in our audience. And so they need to hear or see different things to want to buy from us. So we've got to make sure that, you know, if we're doing face to camera content in some way, that that's something that we're talking about, or even just the content that lives within our social media content. Because as creatives, we all want to hide behind our reels. We all want to hide behind our work. We all want to hide behind that. We do not want to show ourselves. We do not want to talk. We feel stupid. We're like, no, 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 I cannot. I'm behind the camera. That's where I am, you know? And I see, and I've had, you know, so many conversations with creatives about this. I'm like, here's the problem. There are so many really good photographers, videographers, wedding planners, you name it. There are really amazing people. And there are people who have similar aesthetics to you. So if you go to someone's page as a client and you're looking at that page and you're saying beautiful photos, but there's nothing differentiating beautiful photos from beautiful photos, you are not memorable anymore. So it's the wanting to blend in. And again, I really see this with creatives as a struggle for them of like, but I want to be just like so-and-so, whoever that person is that they've like set on a pedestal that's, you know, killing it and doing a great job. I want to be just like that. So they try to be just like that person and they hide all the aspects of themselves that they really should be showing, because those are going to be the things that connect with your audience. And again, going back to kind of your buyer types, depending on the buyer type that you have, they might need to be sold to in a way where they feel really connected to you. So if you're hiding behind the camera, if you're hiding behind your content, you're not showing yourself, or you're not saying the things that they need to hear, then it's going to be a struggle for you to connect with them and to have them want to buy from you. So, but let me bring it back to the original question, because I got off on a tangent there. So I like to, once I kind of know, okay, here are the buyer types I have to talk to, here is kind of what my message is and what I need to be saying, when I have to actually sit down to create content, my process is pretty simple, quote unquote. I start and I always script my videos. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to say, like, what is my hook? I'm going to make sure that I'm kind of like introducing myself and explaining who I am, that I'm going to have kind of the meat and the potatoes of whatever I'm saying. And then I'm going to have some kind of call to action for people. Not every video is going to follow that structure, but especially if you are talking face to camera, that's a good structure to have. And even if you're not, even if you're just like a photo collage, text on screen, whatever, like your hook is one of the most important things that you want to have. And it can be text on screen. It can be something that you're saying, you know, whatever. But that's what's got to draw people in. And a lot of times people be like, I can't think of a hook. And it's like, okay, well, what do you want this video to be about? Sometimes you have to start and you have to work backwards. So you have to start with the content that you're sharing. And then be like, okay, what is this telling me? How can I turn this into something like juicy that someone wants to see? Again, even if it's a photo collage, like maybe you just have all these photos from like a wedding that you did that you were like, this is beautiful. I want to put it into a reel with some trending music on it. It's like, what was special about this reel? Like I saw someone do something where it was like, you know, 3 to 5 seconds of kind of them just literally staring at the camera and not saying anything. And there was text on the screen that said like, I wanted my wedding photos to look like a Lana Del Rey music video. And then it was like the collage of the photos. But even something simple like that is huge because people are like, what does a Lana Del Rey music video look like in photos? Or like, I want that. That curiosity is piqued with your hook. And then people are like, oh, I want to see what it is. So there are ways to do that. So you've got to kind of script it out, figure out what you want it to be. And then once you know, like, what you're trying to accomplish with your video, because you've scripted it in whatever way you need to, then you go to the filming. Then after you're done filming, you know, with whatever app, if you want to use Instagram, TikTok, CapCut, whatever, then you go to edit. You do all your fancy little editing things, you add your sound, and then you're going to post it. So I kind of do it in those four phases. I will never film, edit, you know, post a video all at once. Like, I rarely do that. In fact, I hire an editor because I hate it so much. But if you're doing that, it's like film, 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 everything, just like batch film. That's why I'm here in makeup today, because I'm going to batch film after this. And then I'm going to go send them off to my editor, do what I need to do, and then I'll get them back and I'll be able to kind of do the rest of the process. But it's really breaking it down into those four phases, whatever that looks like for you, and then batching as much as you can. And just like, if it's once a month that you can do, it's once a month that you can do, but don't set yourself up to fail. Don't be like, I'm going to post a reel 3 times a week, every week. And then you do and you create it and then you burn out and then you drop off for 4 months. We've all been there, but you know, if you can just say, okay, I'm just going to create 4, even if I'm excited, maybe I'll script out the rest or I'll film some extra ones, but I'm only going to focus on doing 4 so that I don't burn out. Cause that's what I see a lot of people doing.
Totally, man. There's so much to unpack in just that piece. One quick logistical question I had, because you kind of walk through the whole process and you batch it. How do you recommend going through the batching process, but also still being able to use that trending audio? Like, do you have any sort of tips for people who want to hop on the trending audio, but also, because I feel like a lot of people who do the trending audios, you feel like you have to make it in real time.
Mm-hmm. So if you have B-roll, like whatever that B-roll looks like, that's going to be really helpful. So you can, like, there are some times where I'll literally do just kind of like a B-roll meme kind of week. And I will just like go film a bunch of B-roll, put it in my camera. And then like, I don't even know what it's going to be. And people don't really do like the pointing thing anymore. But when I say B-roll, think of that. It's like either like, you know, it's a camera setup, you know, watching me take pictures or looking at me editing something. And then you can just put text on the screen. But it's having that like footage essentially that you can then use and put a hook, put words and put a trending sound over it. So those two things I'll say don't often need to like match. Like you don't need to have the footage and the sound together. You can have all the footage batched ready to go. And you're like, I want to use this trending sound. I know what I'm going to do for my hook. And you put them both together.
And would you say that all of your reels have trending audio, or do you have some where you create it with a different audio in mind and then you just don't worry about the trending audio?
I like a lot of mine are face to camera. When I do a trending audio, like I've definitely just done it, like just like sitting out on my deck swinging back and forth, and I'm like, I have no idea what sound I'm going to use, I have no idea what hook I'm going to use. But you know, on a day where I'm lazy and I don't know what I want to post, that's an easy way to do it. So yeah, you definitely don't need to know, and you can just add your trending audio after. So yeah, it's kind of, it gives you the freedom to do that if you just have a bunch of batch short clips that you can use the trending audio for.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, thank you. That's super helpful in terms of just how to create an effective video. So thanks for just giving those tips on that. I would love to talk a little bit more about, like, how do you know, like, what types of content you can create and, like, the purpose to each? And then also how that serves the different buyer types that you were talking about.
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so when it comes to different content types, like, there are kind of two main types of content that you're going to be creating, and they have different purposes. So content one is going to be growth content. So this is going to be content that is going to grow your account in some way, because what often happens is people are like, oh, I'm creating this content, but it's not getting the views, it's not getting the response, but maybe it's getting you clients and it's really highly converting, but it's either so niched down or so specific that it's not always going to be growing your account. So you're focused on, you know, creating all this content because you want all the views, but then it's not doing anything to nurture those people who need to be nurtured through that. So you can kind of approach it from the idea of like, okay, maybe a meme, something like that, is going to be like something that could go mini viral, could go viral, could get a lot of people with eyes on your account, like watching what you do. It's going to be great, but it's not necessarily going to equate into a bunch of sales for you. So you also need to then, once you get those eyes on your brand, you need to be taking those and creating more growth and nurturing content instead of the growth content. So that nurturing content is really where you're going to be focused on, who are my buyer types and what do they need to hear? And so essentially, just to make it easy, we'll kind of break it down into like what their different buyer types need to hear. So buyer type one is going to be like your amiable buyer. They're someone who wants to feel like they are your friend. They want to feel like they have a relationship with you. They know who you are. They feel really connected to you. And they need to feel that before they're going to buy from you. You also have buyer types who need to know that working with you is going to make the world better in some way, or it's going to make someone's life better in some way. So this is someone who's kind of like an ethical buyer, and they're like, you know, I want to make sure that my purchase, or, you know, my investment with this person is doing something. So that could be something as simple as like, you know, you're working with a florist and they're going to take all your flowers and donate them to, you know, a retirement home or something like that after working with you. That could be the tipping point for that type of buyer to say, I want to work with this florist versus someone else. You're also going to have like a driver buyer, and this buyer is going to be someone who is really like pushed by results. So this could be someone where it's like flashy, like big things, you know, are going to impress them. So this would be where your social proof, maybe where you've been published, all of those types of things are going to play a role in whether they are looking for someone who does what you do or somebody else. Like, it's more important to them that you've been, you know, published in Vogue than it is that they know that your dog's name is Snoopy. Like, you know, it's those types of things. So obviously the content that you're creating is going to be different. And then you're going to have analytical buyers. And I feel like wedding people, analytical buyers probably are not their favorite. They're like, okay, well, what am I getting? Like, how many hours am I getting? Do I get a second shooter? Like, they want to know all the little details of everything that they're getting before they feel comfortable making a purchase. So to them, you've got to make sure that they have all the information, and then they've got to go, they've got to process it, like make sure they like it, it works for them, and then they'll come back and make that purchase. And a lot of people are like, you know, made up of different types of buyers. Like for me, like I'm definitely an amiable and probably a little bit of a driver buyer. So it's like, you've got to know that. And it, you know, the other kind of thing to think about when you're creating this content is that, like we talked about, people are going to buy because of emotion and connection that they feel. So they see you, they want to work with you. They're like, oh my gosh, great, amazing. So this could be like that, those driver results or that amiable connection that they feel. But what is going to make them feel good about the purchase that they made is that it makes logical sense to them. So this is almost like where girl math comes in, and like, they're like, okay, but like the analytical side of me is like, well, I got this and this and this, and I got an engagement shoot free, so that saved me money, and all of those types of things. Because oftentimes people like will make a purchase or work with someone, you know, especially with weddings, where they're like, I just spent all this money. Is this person really going to deliver? Can they give me what I want? And so just making sure that on the other side of that, that you have the logical reasons to back up why this purchase was a really good investment for them. So, you know, it feels overwhelming to hear all this because you're like, oh my God, there's all these different buyer types and so many different things to do. And how do I do it? And a lot of it can be done like analyzing your current content and really looking at like what's done well. And if you haven't taken the time to experiment with different kinds of content, like you need to do that. So recently I did a 90-day kind of Instagram growth thing, and I was always just doing face to camera, education, value. And I started like sprinkling in more memes and things like that. And those did significantly better on my account, like views and engagement wise and things like that, which was good to know, but they're not selling for me. So again, this is what creating a really well-rounded content strategy involves. And this is a lot of what I walk my clients through and help them do.
That's seriously so good. And I'd love to like kind of walk through just kind of big picture. So like, we've kind of talked through, you know, defining your buyer types, making sure that you're creating content that solves a problem and speaks to what you do and how you want to create. And we've talked through kind of like the nitty gritty of doing, you know, short form videos and how to actually like create those in a strategic way to then, you know, have the call to action, make sure there's a hook and actually having like the grit of what you want to be communicating. But overall, big picture, do you mind talking through a little bit of like the workflow in which like you actually schedule these out, like the cadence and like kind of maybe systems and tools you might recommend using to stay organized in this process?
Yeah. So obviously, like when it comes to like the pre-planning side of things, you know, I'm pretty simple. I've tried a bunch of different tools, a bunch of different things, but like my script is next to me. Like these are my scripts, literally. It's just a Word document with bullet points that I print out and I read like, you know, as I'm going to do where I have the certain clips that I want to film just written out. Like it's very simple. So I'll just kind of do it like that. There are different tools that you can use. There's things like Notion, which can help you kind of like organize your workflow and, you know, create a template that you can fill out every time you want to do it. So something like that. And then in terms of the editing process, so it depends on where you want to edit. Most people will edit natively in whatever app they're using. So Instagram or TikTok. You can obviously also use CapCut as well to help with editing. You know, I found my editor on Upwork. He's reasonable, you know. So it just depends on like how much you really want to get into that. But I would look at too, like in this whole process, like where are you getting tripped up? Like where are you bottlenecking? Because for me, it was editing. I was like, I don't want to edit. So I had to just outsmart myself and say like, okay, well, if I'm not doing this because I don't want to edit, then I need to get help and outsource that part of the process. Because it was literally like my Monday would be scripting. My Tuesday would be filming. My Wednesday, Thursday, and some of my Friday would be editing. And then it would start all over again. I'm like, I'm not doing anything else but creating freaking short form video. Like, I can't do this. So, you know, find out where that is. Then when it comes to like posting in terms of tools that people should use, Metricool is really good if you want to be able to pre-plan and schedule all of your posts. That's the tool that I would recommend to do that. I have used it and I think it's awesome. The struggle that I have is that sometimes I'd rather do the work on the back end of it, meaning that like I'd rather just have it ready to go in my drafts, hit post, and then I use a tool called repurpose.io. And Repurpose is great because it will then allow you on the other side to go either automatically or manually send your content from one platform to another. And so I really like that because I think it's easier for me to just like do it after and hit a button and make a couple edits. But I don't mind doing that. Other people are like, I don't want to think about it. I want to schedule it and I want it to go out and never want to have to think about it again. I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to do all that work with scheduling. I'd rather just like post what I want to post, you know, on whatever day I want to post it and then, you know, make it go where I need it to go after the fact. But it depends on like people's creative process as well, because a lot of my clients tend to be like kind of spiritual and woo-woo and creative-y, and they're like, I don't want to have a like motivation Monday and a tip Tuesday. And some of my clients do. They're like organized and OCD like me, and they're like, tell me what to do. So it just depends on like how much structure you want around this. And then leaving in room for those additional things that are on trend, that are happening now, that kind of like need to be posted in the moment, you leave space to do that kind of thing as well. So it really, like how I structure that piece depends on the client and just what feels good to them. And like what they feel like, again, they can consistently commit to doing.
That's all such great stuff. Quick question on the repurpose IO. So when you say you send it to different platforms, do you then upload the video to that and then it'll send it to Instagram, TikTok, and that? Or how does that work?
So literally you connect it, like you create your account and you connect it to all of your social platforms. And then within it, you create what's called workflows. And so I have a workflow from my TikTok to my Instagram Reels. Then from my Instagram Reels to my Facebook. I could also do TikTok to Facebook, but it depends because I don't put everything that goes on TikTok for me onto Instagram. So I want to manually do that workflow myself, but I don't care if everything that's on Instagram goes to Facebook. So I set that one up automatically, but basically it just pulls your content in from wherever. And then you have these different workflows set up, taking it from one platform to the other. And again, you set it either manual so you can do it, or you said it's automatic and it just does it for you.
Amazing. So if you did it, if you did it manually, would it just show up as a draft in each of those?
So yeah, it just shows up as like, hey, here's your most recent content. You hit the publish button. It pops up a box with your caption. You make any edits you need to your caption. You hit schedule and that's it. It's super good.
Okay. Wow. That was so much gold right there. I feel so motivated and inspired to just go out and like batch content and actually have a strategy in place. Like, you just shared so much great information. I guess for someone who is listening and they really want to figure out, okay, where should I start? I'm motivated. I see the value. What do you recommend in terms of just like getting started? What can they start doing today?
Yeah, I think honestly, again, for me, because everything that I do always comes back to that message, it's really defining the person that they want to work with and not like, her name is Jessica, she's 29 and she shops at Abercrombie. It's like more of the psychographics of really who this person is and what they are really looking for from you, and getting very clear on that. Because I think, again, that's where everything else in your marketing that you do comes from, whether it's your website copy, whether it's your social media posts, like all of those things should be pretty consistent. You want to like think about, your messaging might shift a little bit in terms of where in like your funnel that you are, aka like where in the process of taking this client from someone who is not a client yet, just maybe a follower, to someone who's actually working with you. What piece of information do they need at each one of those stages? And so just having your message clearly defined helps make sure that that is consistent throughout.
So good. So good. Well, thank you so much, Molly, for being on today's episode. You just shared a wealth of information and it is just clear that you know what you're talking about. And so for people who are interested in potentially working with you or learning more from you, where can they find you? What kind of things do you offer?
Awesome. Yeah. So you can find me on TikTok or Instagram. I am Branded with a Purpose. And basically I work with clients either through coaching or copywriting, and primarily through coaching. And you can work with me either just doing a single session to help you really define that message, and you can take that and go off and do what you need to do. Or I work with clients to define their entire strategy for them through VIP days, which have actually been super popular. A lot of people are like, just tell me, give me the strategy. I can go implement it, but I just need some help kind of like coming up with what that is. And so I think that's a really great option for a lot of people who don't have the budget to necessarily have the support and do it. They just want to be like, I need to know what the heck I'm doing and I can do it myself. Or if people are like, nope, I need you to hold my hand. I need help implementing. I need accountability and I just need support to build out my marketing. And then I work monthly with people as well.
Seriously, that is so great that you offer all of those tools and resources. And so if anyone's listening and you're like, man, I loved learning from Molly today, I am just wanting to hop on a call with her or learn more about her services, please do that. Everything's going to be linked in the show notes below. So thank you so much, Molly, for sharing all your knowledge today and helping everyone just kind of get a better understanding of how they could be a little bit more strategic in their marketing. So awesome. Thank you. And for everyone else listening, we'll see you next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Take Your Shot podcast. If you found this podcast helpful or insightful, we would absolutely be honored if you could take a moment to leave us a review on whichever platform you're listening on. If you have any friends who you think would benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. And lastly, we absolutely love connecting with you all on social media. You can find us using the links below in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.